Sports Day for Kia, with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy.
7 minutes past six. Hello, welcome along to Sports Day. Matthew Lloyd to join us in just a tick. But finally, it seems the game was given back to the players in round six. And for the most part, the Sherrin was set free of the chains of slow, dreary football. It made for great viewing. And well done, specifically to David Teagan-Carlton. You are a joy to watch in victory last week and defeat against the Power. You play an exciting brand of footy. Don't let it change. So to the Dogs and Melbourne, who have finally realised that they have one very talented list. And if they're given the opportunity to play on instinct when in attack, they know how to play. Not sure what will happen tonight when the Saints play the Crows, but hopefully we see the Sherrin in full flight. The man with all the news, who is still not convinced about the Blues' improvement, Scoop McClure joins us. Welcome, Scoop.
Hello, Sherrin.
Get on board, Scoop. Come on. Just jump on board. It's not too late.
What am I jumping on board again?
You're jumping on board the Blues wagon that are charging their way through to October.
Geez, they threw one away yesterday,
didn't
they?
They did. It was a little bit stiff. Gee, it was great. Wasn't a great 10 minutes of finals footy, though?
It was the opening quarter was as good as
exciting footy. That was a great match. That's 2 for 2, the Blues.
Yep. No, they're playing a really good brand of footy. Their forwards are up and going.
They beat the Cats. They've beaten a couple of finalists.
Yep. Jacob Wiedering's becoming a joy to watch.
Yep. In fact, he's going that well, they're trying to get him out of the way.
That's right. And I thought Charlie Dixon's performance yesterday was absolutely sensational. And I didn't think you'd see anything better in that game than Sam Walsh going back with the flight. But Robbie Gray's
that was a great moment in the Healy household. We had the team on the couch.
Yep.
And just there was laughs and a raise and jeers and jeers. You know, it's just everybody was hoping he was kick it. Bar Carlton supporters. Sorry, Blues.
I'm going to ask Matthew Lloyd this in a couple of seconds, Jared. But what... For a normal kick, take the siren out of it.
Yeah.
What percentage do you reckon a Robbie Gray would be from that spot?
Robbie Gray?
Yep.
He's probably a bit higher than most. I reckon most about 10%. If they had 10 kicks, they'd 15%. They'd make it one and a half times out of 10. Let's welcome the great full forward. Lloydie, welcome to you.
Thanks, Sherrod, Sam. Yeah, unbelievable finish to it. I think,
what would you have most people from where Robbie Gray kicked, Lloydie?
I was going to give him a little bit more than that.
Okay.
I was going to say maybe kick 3 out of 10.
He would?
Yeah,
he would. But most people would be around that 1.5 out of 10.
Yeah, I think wrong side. For a right footer, it's a tough kick.
Wasn't it perfect, though? The weight went through the ball. It didn't deviate off the line. If you were going to say to show anybody a coaching tip on how to do it, in fact, Charlie Dixon should have a good look at it because he just changes badly. All sorts of biomechanical elements of his swing when he gets within 20 metres of goal. Should look at it.
I had one opportunity after the siren, Sam, and missed
the Dogs?
And missed it. And I think that I stabbed... I was about 20 metres out.
Tried to guide it?
Tried to guide it through. There was about 15 blokes on the mark, all those sorts of things. And I think Robbie's distance that he was in, he was probably 40 metres out.
He had to
kick through it, and it was absolutely beautiful. Couldn't have hit any better.
Isn't it amazing that the thing he said after the game was that all I was thinking about was making good contact with the ball? I thought that was fascinating just from an insight into how confident he was.
So can I just nail you down on where you think the Blues are at the present time? Because you have been a long-tortured Blues fan, and I understand you're trying to – sort of protect yourself. You know, you've been mentally bitter and twisted for a period of time, scarred. You're prepared to say you're a chance to play finals this year, if nothing else?
No.
Jeez, he's hard to convince, isn't he?
And just on Sam's point, you'd hope that they will belt North Melbourne this week.
That's my big issue with Carlton this week, is that if they're going to be a team that even thinks about September, they have to come out and win easily.
But you'd be pleased, though, because off the back of the Bulldogs' win, apart from that 3 goals that they gave up to Port pretty straight up, that was disappointing.
Yeah, but Port were hot.
They hot. Started well. Yeah, but then they hit back hard. So the way they've played the last 2 weeks, they should win and win well.
We're just having a chat about footy, folks. If you want to join us, the Harcourt's open line is now open on 13 13 32 for all things real estate. Speak to Harcourt's. If you want to talk to Matthew Lloyd, give us a call now. I'd like to hear from Melbourne supporters as well, because they were really exciting. And I've got to say, I reckon the Swans have been a tough watch for a period of time, despite the fact they've been winning. But on the weekend, I know they lost, but they played the best brand of footy I've seen the Swans play from an aesthetics perspective for one hell of a long time.
Just before we get to the calls, and they are lining up on the Harcourt's open line, a quick 20-second news hit. There has been a lot of talk about the fixture and that we're going to get rounds 9 to 12.
What are you going
to
give us tomorrow? In the Age tomorrow?
I think the AFL fixturing team, which have been locked in the same room for the course of an entire day,
yep.
are really struggling to get through a lot of the quarantine issues that different governments are giving them, coming in and out of Queensland, WA. They want to go down to Tasmania, also Northern Territory. I reckon we'll only, if I had to be a betting man, we'd only get round nine as an announcement tomorrow. That's how much they're struggling. But we are going to see North Melbourne go down to Tasmania and host a game. I think on the way out of WA, Hawthorn will go and do the same.
Yep.
And my bet would be we're going to have some, at least three games in the Northern Territory as well.
Three in the Northern Territory, a couple in Tassie. Surely the Lions and the Suns are going to have to travel at some stage. Are they going to be sent down to Tassie?
I think, and Lordy was talking about this off-air before, but he makes a really good point in that those two teams, because they were hubbed with the SA teams and the WA teams, have already played those clubs. So will they actually need to go anywhere else, Lordy, other than Tasmania?
Well, that's the thing about it. They might potentially just go to play Hawthorn or North in Tasmania. And apart from that, they could be in Queensland for the rest of it. So it just further enhances the Gold Coast chances of making the eight and the Suns, sorry, and the Lions' chances of actually winning this premiership this year. No more better opportunity for the Lions than this year.
Do you think the Suns will make the eight based on, if you take the grounds away from it, I guess, are they playing good enough footy comparative to the rest of the comp?
They're playing good football, but I still think they've got, they've beaten a lot of bottom teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think the West Coast was their best win in terms of who they've beaten. But the Western Bulldogs will say a lot about them this weekend. I think they're playing a team around where their range is, but I'd be tipping the Western
Bulldogs. Just on the Suns quickly, Jared, one of the great pieces of vision over the weekend was Stewie Jew's reaction to Isaac Rankin's first goal.
Soccer goal.
A guy that, as a player, was that skilled and turned up in such big moments, including in grand finals, to laugh at Rankin making that look so easy, I thought, told a lot about what they think of his skill.
He's a package, Lordy, isn't he? He's got great movement through through traffic. He's balanced. And, in fact, we had a couple of other players have great debuts on the weekend. Fredericks for Fremantle was excellent.
Yep.
The Demons had one young bloke whose name escapes me look pretty good as well.
Cody Waitman as well.
Cody Waitman had a belter for the Dogs.
What a goal that was
for the Bulldogs, yep. So here's the eight. Port Adelaide are a game clear. Brisbane are on 20 points with five wins. And then there's Collingwood and Richmond with the 4.5. The Cats with four. Gold Coast with four. West Coast with four. Bulldogs with four. The Bombers poor on the weekend. They were the most disappointing side on the weekend. Out of the eight on percentage with four wins. And then the Saints have got the Saints have got a game tonight. The Bombers obviously have got a game up their sleeve along with the Demons. And then you got the Blues, who that game could cost them finals, and the Demons, and the Giants, and Hawthorn, all on 12, and you can forget the rest.
So you go, Lloyd.
On the Saints, they've already lost to the Dockers, 15th on the ladder, and North, 17th on the ladder. So if
both of who they were leading by six goals plus.
They lose tonight, and it's all over for
St. But they beat Richmond, who are fourth on the ladder.
Yeah.
Lloydie, would you have the top five right now as locks for playing finals footy? Port, Brisbane, Collingwood, Richmond, Geelong.
Definitely the top four, and Geelong I'm not 100% sold on just yet.
Okay. Jared?
Yeah, I'd have them as locks.
The five?
The five.
Okay.
And then it's a dead set raffle at
for
this
the rest,
stage.
Yep.
Just getting back to Essendon, Lordy, I know people are making excuses for them because they had a few players out. And I got to accept that, except for what I saw. And I saw a side that just was flat. And this is the element that you have to bring every week, and that is that just absolute spirit. We're going to be talking to Tony Shaw very shortly. You know, that energy that enables you to be super competitive, and they didn't have it. Every side's had a couple of flat ones. Hawthorn's had three in a row now, really flat, and yet 4 weeks ago I saw them so full of energy. It seems to me there's got to be more to the Hawthorn scenario than just a list that's 4 weeks older than when they belted Richmond. But like your thoughts on the energy of the Bombers.
Yeah, and I had a player say to me how flat they thought they were against Carlton. So that's 2 weeks in the last three or four where they've been off. And just on that, I think they reached a tipping point, and that's not giving them excuse, the Bombers, because I think Scheel was out off the back of Heppel, Stringer's out off the back of Danaher. But that's what I love about Richmond. Egg Malesi-Smith comes in and plays Bashahuli's role. Chol has come in and probably said, I'll take Nan Curvis's role. Shai Bolton's playing the best footy he's played. And he's no Trent Cotchin, but he's playing more midfield. Whereas for the Bombers, I just thought the tipping point came where they lose some players and the bottom falls out of them. The GWS Giants, we heard Brett Dilidio, whether you want to believe him or not, said,
fascinating comments.
They play more as individuals rather than a collective. Whereas Richmond just you'd see like they, apart from those few flat weeks they had, they, the system remains the same, whereas Toby Green doesn't play for the Giants. And I feel they are a four-goal lesser side without him.
Matty Lloyd is here with us for McDonald's. Drive through fast and safe. It is contact-free. And Sports Day, powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. More Sports Day after this.
Sports Day for Kia, with Australia's best seven-year factory warranty. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Matthew Lloyd is here. And if you want to join us on the Harcourts open line, the number 131332. Momo is in North Melbourne, wants to talk about the Blues. Momo, you happy or not?
I am. Thanks, guys. Before I get your thoughts on Carlton, Jared and Lloyd, I want to give a slap to Sam McClure. I mean, I've never seen you give credit to Carlton when it's due.
Momo's talking to you, and I think he's spot on the money.
They lost yesterday, did they not?
They did lose, but they were playing a side on top of the ladder, and they were 1 minute away from winning the game. I mean, this is not straight line improvement to the flag scoop. Yeah. You've got to have your ups and downs. It's credit where credit's due.
Come on,
you're on the money, Momo. Keep going.
Let's not turn this into bashing.
The other thing is, Jared and Lloyd, about Sam Welsh. I mean, he has been getting the hate from commentators for the last 2 weeks. You've got Gary Lyon, you've got what's that other bloke from
Kane
Port Adelaide?
Hutchie.
I mean, redrafting the 2018 draft. Now, I reckon yesterday he came out and showed everyone why he's the number one draft.
Good on you, mate. I actually agree and have constantly defended the selection of Sam Welsh. Not that at Kane's point, he had 2 points. One, that they shouldn't have taken him at one, which I strongly disagree with. And the other one was he's not going to be a match winner. Again, I strongly disagree with, based on the fact that we don't know yet. We haven't seen enough. But if some of those incidents yesterday, we can go off that, Lloydie, he's going to be a guy that wins games.
I felt for him. Last week, Hutchie used the term, it was a safe selection when Max and Ben and Rosie and all these guys are in. But I don't think there's anything safe about Welsh. He still kicks 2 goals, has 18 possessions, and he's played 25 games of footy. So I think that
With a flight against Charlie Dixon coming the other
way. And Hutchie will probably go, Kings can kick 60, 70 goals in a season. So,
but even if that's the case, even if someone re-rates him, somebody with credibility, you in 10 years' time, Lloyd, re-rate him and he comes in at 3. Well, big deal.
Yeah, that's right.
You had Hodge, Judd, Ball in the one draft. I think there was one or two others. So you have 10 different people rejudge it. Bad luck. He's responded. He's a brilliant young footballer, and the Blues will be wrapped. They got him.
And Sam, just on Carlton, I think where you can see improvement for mine and where you see good hope is that Mackay has had a great few weeks.
Yeah.
Like Wiedering's in career best form.
Agreed. Yeah, all Australian form.
You've got Walsh doing what he's doing. Mm-hmm. You've got Cripps doing what he's doing. You've got Jack Martin doing what he's doing. So I reckon when the names keep popping up that they're playing the best footy that they've played, that's when you know you're on the right track. I think that's what Luke Beveridge got going for the Dogs when they won the premiership and then they fell away a little bit. I think that's when you can see that you're on the right curve when suddenly a group is and there's a lot of individuals playing at their best
footy. All jokes aside, they were outstanding yesterday and all but for a poor last 5 minutes, they would have won. I think they're on the right track. Are they a team that's going to play finals this year? I'm yet to be convinced of that.
Well, they're in the mix, aren't they?
They're in the mix.
But there's great organic improvement. They could just keep on developing. And it was only tiny little things. I reckon if you look back, the bloke, Harry Mackay, the worst manning of the mark on the half forward flank results in an opportunity to kick a goal at the other end of the ground. They're tiny little things, got zero to do with ability, zero to do with anything else except concentration at the critical moment, which I think they'll learn. Yeah. If you don't learn, you actually lose close games.
The one with 30 seconds left.
He had to hold Butters up.
Spot on. He turned his back.
Went too hard,
He just missed. Anyway, doesn't matter. Lloyd, we're talking draft picks. The one that I think will hurt the Saints for a long time, and I know Paddy McCartan has had concussion issues. But I can remember doing this program week in, week out for the lead up to that particular draft as to whether or not the Demons were going to take Petrarca or whether the Saints were going to use their pick with Petrarca or McCartan. Well, right now, I mean, you could make a case that Petrarca is the best player in the competition right now.
that game on the weekend, I think, was as good as any game someone's played this year. In Christian Petrarca, you know, 14 score involvements, 29 disposed. He was everything that Hawthorn aren't at the moment. Mm. You know, when you sum up where Hawthorn's at, he's explosive, he's powerful, he breaks the lines, he's kicking goals. He's just, so his next challenge is going to be now being sat on every week. Yeah. I think so. Christian's got to go through that. But I love seeing guys get fit. Charlie Dixon's just a powerful man at the moment. Petrarca, you see his body's changed. I saw it. Joe Watson changed, and he changed himself as a footballer overnight. So it's great to see. And I thought Max Gawn,
he was
a masterclass against McAvoy.
And they can get better. Max Gawn, his first centre bounce hit outs, his first three were absolutely sublime. Mm. Hit targets, and yet somehow Melbourne found a way for Hawthorn to take the ball inside forward 50. With that midfield, that shouldn't be happening. To Roville, Tony, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, just a quick one, guys. I'm a Carlton supporter, and we are travelling pretty well, but it'd be nice to get more in the W column. We're working on that.
Yep.
One player, though, that no one seems to mention, who I reckon has actually had a fantastic year, and he's only a young gun as well, and that's Will Setterfield. He is starting to help Cripps out in those real clutch situations. And I think that's going to be just as important as anyone who can dash down the wing.
This is the area for me that I've sort of questioned Carlton on, is that next range after, obviously I know what Walsh is going to do, I know what Patrick Cripps is going to do, but it's Will Setterfield, he's good, but I'm not sure how good he'll be. I'm saying he's a competent AFL footballer. I'm not sure how
jury's
good he'll
out
be.
Here yeah, for jury's mine, out. I submit.
Matthew Kennedy. Not sure what he's going to be. Mm-hmm. I love how fit he's got as well. Mm-hmm. Not sure. You know, Gibbons, he's been a great recruit so far.
I like Gibbons. I reckon he's a ripper.
Yeah, but how good will he be?
Yeah.
Cunningham.
So, Cunningham, again, made a bad error late. He just had to hit the player, Levi Casbolt.
Nine disposals yesterday.
Yeah, I think there was a minute 10 to go. He had a shot for goal and it was marked in the goal square. He just had to hit Casbolt up and it was game over.
And I think, can Dow come through and can O'Brien come through?
Yeah, and then we've got Liam Stocker as well, who we touched on a few weeks ago. So they're
who they'd like to see be fitter.
Fitter. So that's the next step for Carlton, to have players improve through that midfield, Sam.
Yep, I agree completely. Tony in Roval takes out our round of golf for two at Club Mandalay. Win 18 holes of golf for two plus a complimentary drink. It's all thanks to Club Mandalay, a must-play course in Melbourne's North, Jared.
Let's get to the Giants, Lordy, and put them to bed. We'll talk about them, though, after the break. This is Sports Day for Kia with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty.
Sports Day for Kia with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy.
This is Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy, and of course for Kia. And just before we get to news headlines with Tony the Golden Tonsils Tardio, a sports hot topic for APCO. Win instant prizes and fuel vouchers with Team APCO Top Fan. Enter today at APCO. Lloydy, tell me about the Giants. Can they play finals footy, and are they going way too slow? Have they got to join the Set the Sharon Free gang?
I watched that game closely. I did the Giants and the Brisbane Lions, and they were four goals down in the space of 10 minutes, Jared, and they were very sloppy around stoppages. So Jared Lyons and Jared Berry and Zorko and Neil cleaned them up around there. So they weren't playing the footy you'd expect, or they weren't as manic in defending for their lives. And then once you win the ball back, go and get your orange tsunami going. So they seemed off. They worked themselves back in the game.
Yep.
But I thought the system of Brisbane, whenever they were challenged, Brisbane found a way. I thought the back line of Birchall and Harris Andrews and even Archie, they all knew what they were doing. They had a role. Whereas for the Giants, it seems to be that talent might get them back in. You might see a Jeremy Cameron moment or a Haynes intercept mark. And all that. So they're just not clicking at all. Their midfield's not going well. The ball, again, they've lost inside 50s every round for the season. So it must be asking the coach. So I bought up the rucks and I bought up their small forwards. You know, they've tried Langdon, they've tried Lloyd. When Toby Green doesn't play, they can't lock it in there. So Himmelberg hits it, plays well. Okay, got Lockie Neal, but Neal worked through it. And so I just thought the honesty of Brisbane was too good in the end for the Giants with more talent.
I thought the Brett Deledio comments were fascinating. It's quite,
tell us about them.
Quite rare that you have a player, not only of his ilk, but who is just out of the game and just out of the Giants, say that their fallback position when things aren't going well, and I'm paraphrasing here, is that they play like 22 individuals and not as a team.
if they are true, Lloydie, and we'll have a listen to them now.
Leon needs to be harder on his. Like he gives these guys a lot of freedom to play the way they see the game. It unfolds. Take the option that you see. But I think there needs to be a little bit more. I wouldn't say discipline, but structure in terms of, right, this is the way we're going to do it. If you don't handball that ball off to someone who's running past, expect to come and sit next to me for a little bit, you know. I think at times when things start to go bad, they all try and use their own ability to win the game versus trying to do it together. And that's where they ultimately fall down, is because it's a bunch of 22 individuals versus a collective team.
Brett DeLeedy on ABC Grandstand there. Lloydie, how is that happening, that this team has been together as long as they have been, and yet they're still playing selfish football, according to DeLeedy?
That to me is he as a player that was there last year, he's saying, Leon, I want you to be harder on us. I want you to be harder on us. So suddenly if I run past Jared four times and he doesn't give me the handball four times, I'm not going to run past the next time. And when Jared runs past me, I'm not going to give it back to him either. That's what still will stem in within a team.
Does that stuff still happen in AFL footy?
Well, I'm saying by listening to Brett, he's pretty much saying he wants more predictability. He wants more from them and not relying on a Toby Green piece of brilliance to get them back in the game. And they played the finals like a team last year. Yep. So I thought they were brutal. They were brutal in that final series last year, but they haven't been able to replicate that this year, Jared.
I still think, Lloydie, if there was a side in the competition that was built to play the game the way Brisbane Lions are playing it, the way Richmond playing, that's go forward at all costs, just get it and go forward, it's them. Mm. I mean, you can play on instinct, but guys, go forward. Yeah. You know, you might cross the ground, but take 15 or 20 metres if you do cross the ground.
Yep.
And, I mean, Phil Davis's number one kick is back on the 45 degree, and that just sets everybody back. And I'm not having a crack at Phil, but it just is reflective that this is a slowish group coming out. And everyone's trying to set up behind the ball to defend, and maybe that's what's taken their eye off their great strength, and that is attack.
Mm. What's happened to their half-back line, Jared?
Well, Zach Williams, unfortunately, is gone. One of their guys, Nathan Wilson, is over in the West. But, I mean, they've got so much talent. They could put two or three of their midfielders on the back flank.
Well, they've got an all-Australian halfback flanker in Lachie Whitfield.
Indeed.
And Haynes, and I think Ash has actually been quite good for
them. He's a star.
Yeah. Jared's man.
I think he's been. So I think the back line's the least of. You've got to use it better. Davis has to go forward. So I think the backs are going okay. I think it's their midfield. Josh Kelly. He's not
unsighted.
Unsighted, yeah. So he's been disappointing.
And you talked about another issue, the Giants on the Sunday footy show being their rucks, I think, from memory.
Yeah, I don't think Jacobs has provided them what they thought he would. He can't get a game.
That's why he's not playing.
They might want to say, yeah, we're going to rotate them. They're not rotating them. They're actually trying to find a player in form. And Tim English did a number on Jacobs. He hasn't been seen since.
Irrespective, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that group of midfielders don't need a dominant ruckman,
as they proved in last year's final series. Yeah. We'll pick up this conversation on the other side of news headlines with Tony Tardio. It's all for Urban Alley, Australian-made hand sanitizer. I think I actually owe Jared a slab of Urban Alley's.
No, you owe me.
Available now at urbanalley.com.au. Tony.
Good evening.
Seltos. Duh.
Lloydie, the Kangaroos have got a group of players that are injured, as everybody has, but they have got some keys out, which is hurting their brand of football. But how much of an excuse is it to the way they have dropped off so badly?
I don't give them too many excuses, because they played a team on the weekend that has won two premierships in the last 3 years, who have a lot of players out, but you know what their brand is. I think that's critical in knowing how you want to play. And Reece was brilliant last year, breath of fresh air. They were tough, hard, I think they moved the ball pretty well as well. But on the weekend, the first quarter, they had more possessions, but the inside 50s were 18 to Richmond, 1 to North Melbourne.
Yep.
So I didn't understand what they were actually trying to do.
Josh Walker, I think, was a really good pickup. Had a good year for them last year. Well, they picked up, he had a good start to this year as a defender. Played in the forward line, which suggests to me they're missing Larky a hell of a lot, because Ben Brown's giving them zero at the present time. What is Ben Brown's issue? Is it the way they're playing? Is it the congestion? Or is it the way he's playing as much as anything else?
I'm going to tonight. I think he's unfortunate. They had 28 inside 50s on the weekend.
So starvation.
Corner. And they hacked the ball in, and they don't have many good kicks in their team. So that hurts him. But that's where you've got to go to school even more so, to work hard and what you're doing. And I'm going to try and look at how Charlie Dixon. I've never seen Liam Jones monstered like he was on the weekend. Like, he's been a good player, Liam Jones. And I saw him the week before, you know, all over the player he was on. I'm trying to think who did Carlton play the week before.
Carlton played. They got they beat the Bulldogs.
Bulldogs, so yeah. And I watched him on Bruce. Josh Bruce. And he did not allow Bruce any. He nudged him under the ball consistently. Well, Dixon's a big step up, but he got destroyed. He was like in the schoolyard when you're playing on your little brother. That's what I thought Dixon did too. And I wanted to highlight how he...
Just a quick clip for Simon there. Just Lordy smashed him in the schoolyard.
That's what I was taking out of that. Brad as well.
Charlie protects the space of where the ball's about to drop to. No, Ben Brown does. He keeps running. Million miles an hour, and then these defenders just nudge him under the ball. I would, if I was North, I'd go, come and watch this bloke, how he protects, holds, then gets to the ball drop. Well, Ben Brown is still playing like a first or second year player where if it's a good kick, great, he's onto it. Jason Dunster was the master. He stopped, propped, whacked his opponent, and gets back on it.
He doesn't look as if he uses his legs for anything other than running fast. Right. So, he never plants. Mm. He never gets a base, a solid base. Mm. So he's always tall and easy to drop off.
So if that's true, has the reason for his downfall simply been that players have worked him out? Because the way he has played doesn't seem like it's changed, but he has kicked goals and, you know, 60-plus goals consistently. Mm. So if players just worked him out, it's as simple as that?
His team's not playing that well, and with that, you've got to work hard. So I think that's where I admire players in lesser teams doing well.
His team dropping off is a significant change for him, isn't
but
it?
But he still should be doing more than what he is. Okay.
You mentioned Big Charlie. I saw on the weekend a couple of times Port Adelaide putting in some unbelievably good blocks for Charlie Dixon. I think Butters was one who just floated in front of his opponent, whose name you just mentioned.
Jones.
And just stood there and got away with it magnificently. I don't know if the umpire's going to crack down on it, and I'm not sure it's illegal, but it will be interesting to follow just to see who works through that.
Well, just on that point, it made me think about Port Adelaide, just the connection with their coach, the connection the players have got after games. And they're 6-1, three games clear of ninth on the ladder, and they've beaten the Suns, good side at the moment, Eagles, good side, Lions, GWS and Carlton. So, they should be aiming for top two now, nothing less than top two to, I don't know, home finals, how that works this year, but at a big Adelaide
home hub final. Yeah.
How will that work, Sam? Well, could they finish top and say two home finals at the Adelaide Oval?
Well, you'd think so as we stand, but it just depends on how much things change. Given that you brought some of my predictions off the top, and just I'll try to find the audio. Where did you guys have Port finishing this year? Both outside the four?
I can't remember. I'm not sure I did predictions. Yes, I wouldn't have had them anywhere near the top four, though.
Okay. I have to find the audio.
Yeah, I didn't do a top eight either, Sam. Oh, no, I didn't. But I would have had them in the eight.
Two of the most prestigious... revered voices in the game.
We don't do top
and you two think that you can get away without doing top
eight. If you can try and find it, I'll give you a slab.
That is extraordinary.
A Bacardi Breezes or something. Sam.
I'll give it right back to you.
We're going to take a break. This is Sports Day. Welcome back to Sports Day. Matthew Lloyd is here for Macca's. Macca's drive-through, fast, safe and contact-free. And 3W will be taking the call tonight, the Crows versus the Saints. It's coming up, and will the Saints be able to back up what was a really poor loss last week? Calling the game for 3AW is the 1990 Norm Smith medalist and captain of the all-conquering Pies, Tony Shaw. Welcome to you, Shaw. It's been a while.
G'day, Jared. How are you, mate? Teams are selected as is, so no late changes at all. Bryce Gibbs won't be playing, and we just noticed for St Kilda, Shane Savage can't get a game with the Saints boys. He's getting on a little bit, but he's been a good servant for that club.
The other one's Dylan Robinson, sure, as well, who was he All-Australian a couple of years ago and had the concussions last year. He can't get a game either at St Kilda.
Yeah, well, you would think, he was nearly All-Australian. He was All-Australian, wasn't he? Intercept mark, and he's had those horrible problems with the concussion, but hopefully he can get back. It might be just taking a lot longer to get over it. But, this game, it's all about scoring, and the Crows don't do it well, boys. 46 points has been their highest score since round one. So I'm finding it very hard to think that you could tip them to win this game. Inside 50s, I lost by minus 25 to West Coast Eagles last week. Midfield, they're not getting the ball in there, and the forward line can't keep it in there. Tex Walker, he's kicked 5 goals for the season, Tommy Lynch 4. But Shane McGuinness told me interesting stat, or not really a stat, but just something to come out of the game. Tom Duday is going to be captain of the Crows tonight. And when you think of players who are in this side, you've got Matty Crouch, 114 games. Brad Crouch, 89. You've got, of course, Talia, 192. Walker, we know why he isn't captain. McKay's played 221. Brown, 156. I can keep going. Lynch, 145. And Tom Duday's played 26. What's that telling you about the group?
Well, it's saying something about the group and also something about Duday. Sure, did you like the footy on the weekend? Were you happy that it freed up a bit?
Oh, please, Jarrett. Look, I heard you boys coming in speaking about it. It's just fantastic. And, you know, I looked at the days when I thought that Alistair Clarkson and who else was it? Scotty down at Geelong. I just thought, yeah, when they were at their best, how they wanted to score. And Lee Matthews always told us 15 goals normally wins 90% of games. And every goal underneath that, you get closer to losing. So, you know, it was just great to see. And I just hope the coaches keep going down that line. We'll just have to wait, Jude. As you know, if they can win ugly, they'll do it. And that's what they're getting paid for. But let's hope we saw some things that will follow into the second half of the year.
Hey, Shorey, if you had one piece of advice for your nephew, Reece, at the moment, if he called you, what would you give him?
Oh, boy. Surround yourself with people you can trust. And look to the future because look, I just don't like the way they're playing the game at the moment. Too, you know, when he took over, there was a lot of freedom in it. I don't know whether that's coming from him. I wouldn't think so, but they're just getting shut down so easy. You know, if you don't have Cunnington in the middle of the ground just feeding out, and Higgins is held, they don't normally get the job done. Look, they're not a great list. I don't think they're a fantastic list. You might disagree, Lloydie, but they just need to find different ways to score. And yeah, the defence seems to hold up okay most of the time, but they just no drive out of the midfield.
And one final one, Shorey. It's a pretty big game for Paddy Ryder. I'm not sure why St Kilda have included him, given that they've gone pretty small for the majority of the year, and yet he's in, and he's got to deliver.
Yeah, well, it is interesting too when you think that Riley O'Brien, after his running with Nick Nat last week, you know, he's probably thinking, oh, I'm going to get a release from the pressure that I put on myself this week, Jared. And Rowan Marshall's been a really good player. I love the way that he goes about it. He tries to accumulate too. So, Paddy, you know, might be playing for his spot. You know, he needs to, one thing, if he's going to be on the ground, he has to have an impact, especially forward, I think, for him. You know, they've only got Tim Membry, their goal scorers. They're the same. Dan Butler's been a great find. Yep. He's kicked 10 for them. He's the highest goal scorer at Saints this year, and Tim Membry's kicked 9. But other than that, that's very low. So they need to get a lot more from their midfield. But it might be Paddy Ryder's last chance at it. I don't know why you would double-team. Maybe thinking Riley O'Brien's just do most of it by himself. They might think they get an advantage at ground level from that.
Shorey, a tip and a margin before we let you go?
I think St Kilda. If St Kilda were get beaten tonight, you've got to ask some questions about their mental toughness. I think the Crows are nearly gone. A good start. I reckon we'll nearly get this done. I reckon St Kilda by 6.
Good on you, Shorey. Tony Shaw there for Aussie Made, and you can hear 3AW's pre-game coverage right after Sports Day. For what it's worth, Daniel Cherney from The Age reporting a stat earlier today. St Kilda is 0-10 at the Adelaide Oval with an average losing margin of 49.6 points. I'm not sure if that means anything or nothing.
If you go to the casino and it comes up red 10 times in a row, what's the chances of it coming up like?
No, well, you're talking about
50%.
No, but you're talking
nearly
about
50%. That's a 50-50 night.
You're talking about two different things there. Conditional probability versus
I heard a St Kilda assistant coach on radio today saying they don't know how to switch momentum. So they're on, everything's going their way. Yep. Once the other team gets a roll on, they've worked all week about how to...
The Saints have.
Yeah, about how to shift, because they shouldn't... The two games they've lost, as you said, Sam, up by 6 goals.
Yep.
And it's all go, go, go. And when a team kicks 2, you've got to maybe just hold possession for a little bit, try a few different things, yep, rather than let the other team just
I reckon
roll.
They should have also been working on not putting the cue in the rack when you think you've got the game won. This is Sports Day. Lloydie's unbelievable furphy weekend moment is up next.
Sports Day for Kia, with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy.
A sports news update for Tyre Power. Keeping the Australian public safe on the roads in difficult times. Tyrepower.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Some shocking news hit the AFL world today with the passing of former Richmond Football Club player and life member Shane Tuck.
Passed away this morning at the age of 38. He played 173 games for the Tigers between 2004 and 2013. His family name's obviously etched into football with his father and his history at Hawthorn, and the tributes flowing in all across social media today from former teammates and friends. One Brett Deledio saying, "Rest in peace, great man, one of the hardest that I've ever played with." Both Richmond and Hawthorn have released statements. CEO of the Tigers, Brendan Gale, saying it, "We're incredibly saddened by the news of Shane's passing. He will be missed enormously by everyone." Tough story for everyone in footy, Jared.
No doubt, and sympathies obviously go out to the great Tuck family. And that, unfortunately, is our sports update for Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, still open. Lloydie, the Brett Deledio comments, are they going to open up a similar can of worms as did the Jordan Lewis comments with Alistair Clarkson last week?
Those comments, of course, being around
the coach.
The coach, Leon Cameron, and if he's hard enough on the players.
They're close to an agreement, aren't they? Leon Cameron and the Giants, is that something that
so was... we keep saying? Dave Matthews was quoted only a few weeks ago saying that he will get an extension, but it just remains to be seen until we actually see the statement.
Well, they play Richmond, the team, the most organised team in it this weekend on Friday night. It's a big challenge for the Giants.
Before we finish, Lloydie, have you got for Furphy's unbelievable weekend moment a couple of selections or just the one?
Well, obviously, Robbie Gray's was a great moment, but I think it's a mark of Sam Walsh. The courage when Charlie Dixon is charging out and Walsh going back or coming in from the side. All ribs were open, and he took that mark. That was my Furphy great moment.
Tipping a margin tonight, Lloydie?
Saints by 20 points.
Jared?
32 points.
Saints by 10. This has been Sports Day for Red Energy. Born and bred in Melbourne, that is Red Energy and Kia, offering value you can trust. Australia's best 7-year factory warranty. The Crows and the Saints are up next.
I've never seen a bloke look more anguished about getting a tip out of his mouth.
Because he's leading with the age. I think that's right.
Yeah. Well, he's under the pump. He's taking his tip seriously.
It's hard being at the top.